In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Trust your boots. So, Jesus in the Gospel this morning talks about the difference between the bread you eat and are not satisfied and the true bread from heaven to which end all hunger. I am the water of life, the living water, he says earlier in the fourth chapter. So that the woman and the well wonders will give me this water so I don't have to draw water again. This is the same sort of big section in John's Gospel where Jesus proclaims he is the I am, good shepherd, I am the bread of life, I am living water. A clear reference to Moses on Mount Sinai. I am, God says to Moses in the encounter of the Holy One. So we have this clear presentation of Jesus being part of the divine presence in our daily life, and that we should long for that presence rather than the man in the wilderness or the food things that feed a miracle of 5,000. So the question is, how do you tell the difference between the kind of foods that we crave? So, from very early on, you and I were taught and learned and experienced very plainly about needing to satisfy the wants and the needs that our bodies have, so that we would need to eat and be satisfied. We would need to have stable employment so that we could eventually have a shelter over our heads and clothes on our backs and food in our tables. And we were taught very carefully what that meant and implications of the striving that we would have to do to have those things that would define us as a success, that would define us as a meaningful, purposeful, productive member of society. And here Jesus tells us that will never satisfy you. You will always be hungry and you will always thirst if that's what you're looking for. So we Christians and others who follow an understanding of how God is beyond somehow the material moment, we are left with this notion of having to make choices and decisions together about where do we find the food that leads to eternal life, and how do you know what it is when you found it? Well, I discovered at around 18,000 feet that you really need to trust your boots. Let's discuss the boots for just a moment. So they're here. I don't recommend you touch them. I haven't cleaned them yet. But they're somewhere around, they made it up to 19,000 feet and back again, me in them. And you know, boots are one of those things you can't do without. That's the one piece of equipment the guys at Kilimanjaro will look for on you and will send you home. They won't even let you start your trip. You don't have a good pair of boots. And by that, I don't mean an expensive pair of heavy-duty hiking boots. I mean a pair of boots that have been obviously broken in. In fact, they recommend that you don't get on your airplane without them on your feet. Now, that's 24 hours on an airplane in size 13 heavy-duty boots in coach, and they don't fit between the aisles. But you can't get a pair of broken-in boots for yourself, and then you can't go hiking and climbing, whatever. So, boots is the one piece of equipment that's going to get you. And what they meant by trusting your boots is you broke them in, they're part of your body, put your weight on them, balance your feet, take a step, lift yourself up on that leg, altitude and make another step. Now, at around 16,000 feet, your step is about 6 inches apart. So, this is about all you're going to walk. This is about as far as you're going to walk for about 6 hours. So, you're just a half of a stride. Because at that point, this is how you're breathing. And there's no drug, unless you go to a bottle of oxygen, it's going to get your brain breathing any better. So you have to trust your boots and your gut. You know, I've learned not to trust my gut. You know, someone silly where along the way told you, Phil, you really got to trust your gut. Did your parents ever tell you that, maybe? You got to trust your instinct, your guts, and tell you what the right way to go. That's just a damnable lie. My gut is nothing more than a jangle of anxiety and amorphous fears. Ill-founded reasons for confidence. My gut has led me into the worst horrible choices I've ever made in my life because I didn't think it through. Not to mention, if you have just a little bit of water, if you brush your teeth without bottled water in Tanzania, your gut is going to tell you horrible things. and that happens to almost everyone who goes there. It's almost impossible not to get the things that happen to us with our guts. So I learned not to trust my guts, but I want to trust my boot. In the spiritual journey, what exactly are those things? Well, I've come to trust this. I don't trust this. Does anybody know what this is? This is the Old and New Testament, the Apocrypha, the study Bible. It needs more duct tape to hold it together. This was on somebody's mantle. And they, like, when things happen like that, they always give it to me. Because they think I'll know what to do with this paperweight. This is nothing more than a paperweight. Okay? It says the Bible on it, but it's not the Bible. It's a paperweight. The Bible, if it is the Bible, is broken in. The Bible is well-worn and well-used. The Bible is read daily. Bible is not a presentation thing. Have you ever noticed on Antiques Roadshow they never show you a Bible? Because everyone brings them. And everyone's got the family Bible going back to 1817, and they're worthless. They're worthless because everyone keeps them. Unbroken in and unused. So you can't trust them if it's sitting there statically. It's not sacred text because it's not lived. And it doesn't have breath. It doesn't fill us out. It doesn't have meaning. Sacred text. The same is true with our prayer life. Things I've come to break in daily prayer, daily reading. I trust those things. Now here's the shock. Look at you. Trust you. I've broken you in. You're well worn. You've thought about it. You've been in life. So I trust the boots. If by the boots I mean the traditions, the well worn custom of thinking it through, of reasoning. Of the sacraments, of the assembly gathered together and together making choices and decisions together in maturity. That's what I trust. That's what gets me to the next mountain. Or better yet, gets me through whatever valley I've got to go through. Where breath is hard to find, or you might be a little sick, confused, dizzy, or life has its way with you. Trust the roots. The roots of well-worn scriptures, known and learned prayers, to be said. The assembly of the faithful gathered regularly. Reason and rationality, argument, not things on a mantle or nicely polished and protected. Trust the boots.